This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this fantastic Friday in Baltimore. What's up, Jay?
What's up, man? Whew, last night was just ridiculous. I was just telling you, and I know we'll get into a bunch of this stuff. I watched so many different sports, but I got caught up in that Guardians game, and I didn't even realize the football game had started. It was that good. Like I got a push notification on my phone saying, hey, Virginia Tech scored. Hey, there's a field goal kicked by Denver, and I'm going, what time is it? It was such a good game, man. One of the best baseball games I've ever seen.
That's cool, man. That's real cool. It was great. I watched it. I had one eye on it on my phone.
You were busy though.
Yeah, I had the Smoktoberfest last night, which was sensational. Like, I'll time out for a second.
Yeah.
Who did that? I mean, who closed it all the way? Who hates life?
I think the afternoon show is afraid of the dark.
Who hates life to where they will close
so they
that?
Shut it? What, Joe? They're afraid of the dark, so they shut this thing over here. It gets dark in the afternoon earlier now.
It was great. It benefited Pathfinders for Autism. Capitol Grill. Capitol Grill was there. They provided the VIP. It was unreal. The food was. True Chesapeake Oysters. You ever heard of them? Are you an oyster guy?
No. I think that's the one thing that comes in a shell that you ain't going to catch me eating.
They were good. They were really good, man. I'm going to have to visit theirs over there on Clipper Mill. They were there as well. Had a lot of the liquor distributors. It was just a great event.
Glad you guys, and look, obviously for a good cause. We talk about this all the time. I mean, we all have our things that push us one way or another, inspire us to do more. And then obviously you've done a ton with Pathfinders and other events as well to help raise money. So I think it's cool. And I'm just glad that you were able to buy some tickets for people to go. So
up. Republic National Distributor was there. And they were there providing all the bourbon, the cigars. It was just a great event, man.
Any of our listeners show up?
Yeah. Rashawn, always.
Yeah.
Being Rashawn.
Of course. Well, look, I'm glad.
You know what I love about Rashawn? When somebody asks Rashawn his name, he says it like you would think one of us would say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, who are you? I'm Rob Long. Like, how do you not know me? He looks up and says, I'm Rashawn.
Oh, the Rashawn? Yes. Like, the Liberty.
Yeah. That's how he responds. I'm Rashawn. Like, he's frustrated. I'm Rashawn, man. Don't you know me?
He's a world traveler. He's been everywhere.
I've been everywhere.
That's Rashawn.
So it was a great time, man. We raised a lot of money. Pathfinders for Autism there. I'd like to thank Finney and Chris from the Humidor on the Hill for, you know, just lending us the space, man. It was a great... Jeremy, I love cigars. I love bourbon. I love steak. I hate them all. I had them all, and we did it for a great cause. For those of you who don't know, I got involved with Pathfinders for Autism when I was covering the Orioles for WNST. This is back before I had a show. I was just, me and Casey was just like reporting. And I met BJ Surhoff, and I told him my son was diagnosed. And BJ didn't talk much to people back then, man. And he told me who to call, and it got my son and Kennedy Krieger, and ultimately on with Pathfinders for Autism, and man, the rest is history. It's been absolutely great ever since then. And Pathfinders for Autism does a great job in keeping people educated about what it is to be on the spectrum and how to communicate with people on the spectrum, education, and all those things.
Because look, to be honest, it's a big spectrum. There's so many different things you can look at. People that function differently, people that tend to remember things a little bit more than others, even as far as, you know, some of the really, really intelligent people you get that have some version of Asperger's as well. So
my son can tell you things that happened before he was a year old.
Seriously. There's some crazy
things that he can put himself in places like, well, I remember, I'm like, you weren't even a year old yet.
Yeah, well, what do they say, Joe? Like, the human population only uses like 10% of their brain. I found out I use 5. That's all I need. So it works out well.
No idea where you were going with that.
What?
I still don't know where he's going with that, Joe.
No, you talk about like all these things you don't know about yourself. And you don't remember, like, it's surprising that he remembers something.
We weren't talking about that.
Yes, we were. No, we
weren't. I think what he was saying is that people in the spectrum use more of their brain or than use us. It in different ways than
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Sure, if we can end this. I don't know what the hell just happened.
It's you're like, neurotypical, they're neurodivergent.
Whatever Joe just said, that's what I...
You're typical.
Yeah, yes, I didn't see that. Divergent. That movie looked terrible.
Oh, my God. This guy... knows how to rear things big time.
Well,
Thursday Night Football was great, wasn't it?
Shut up. Can I just go?
Hey, Joe, the upstart New Orleans Saints.
By the way,
oh my gosh,
I've lost football games or lost gambling, you know, bets in every way possible you could think. Last night, having the under in the Broncos game and watching Spencer Rattler's sorry ass fumble at the 50-yard line.
He used to be South Carolina's quarterback.
Scoop and score.
I'm glad he's gone.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, the Saints just can't go down and get a backdoor touchdown with their third-string quarterback. Yeah, the Saints went down with their the backup quarterback there and went and got a...
What was the over-under?
37. It was sitting at 29 with 4 minutes left to go. And there were 2 touchdowns scored.
I think yesterday I said, I think the Broncos would get that by themselves.
You did.
Didn't I? They got 33.
They were close.
It was close. I said, man, you crazy. The Broncos would get 37 by themselves. They got 33.
That was just ugly. I'm just glad that's over with. Because I'm curious, with a Ravens game on Monday night, do you change up your weekend at all?
Yeah.
And how you normally do stuff?
Yeah, you know why? I'm going to be at Jerry Chevrolet's car show. Good plug. Thank you. Appreciate that.
How did I just say that?
I'll be there. I'll be a judge. And what I do is the Rob Long Award.
What does that mean?
The car that I like best.
Oh, guy's got his own award.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Spencer Rattler. Joe, Spencer Rattler had 172 yards passing. He was the top passing quarterback of the game.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh, man.
That's the first time a Broncos quarterback has had more than 75 yards rushing since Tim Tebow in 2011.
Told you. That was one of the things I said yesterday. Like,
he has a lot in common with Tim Tebow?
Bo Vick.
No. I was talking about Bo Nix rushing yards. Bo Vick. Jesus.
Bo Vick.
I just got that. I'm like, oh, my God.
Bo Vick.
Bo Vick. No, but there was the Saints have a terrible rush defense. Bo Nix had gone over his posted number.
Bo Vick, man.
Bo Vick in 3 of his last 4 games. And then he had already beat the number in the first quarter. He had like 25 yards rushing.
Man, call Sasser. Tell Sasser to get a combination of Bo Nix and Michael Vick. Tell him to combine them two, man.
I don't want to see that. It'll probably look racist. It probably will somehow, some way.
What offense? Is this the offense you expected to see when you heard Todd Monken was coming here? We'll answer that question at 6:30, but on the other side. MLB playoff recap, 2 games, 1 great, 1, man, y'all can score some runs up in New York. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree!
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left! There she goes! How about that?
That was CBS, then Guardians Radio Network,
Sometimes I think announcers overdo it with the emotions, Jeremy. But under that circumstances, those circumstances last night, I got it. Those were goosebump moments, which are tough to come by when your team is not involved. Yeah. But last night was it.
It's funny when you say it, because so Brian Anderson, B.A., was it Frenchie, Jeff Francoeur, and Ron Darling are on the call. And it's interesting to me because, like, I was thinking about this last night. Like, the guys that have, I don't like calling it fake energy, but it's this orchestrated energy that you bring. You know, Marv Albert, Kenny Albert, who's our Kevin Harland. You know, people talk about these. Gus Johnson's another one where it's like, hey, is he so over the top? But in those moments, it feels different when you're listening to that. Because I'm not a big fake energy guy. Like, I don't need all that. But when he lost it on the first home run, well, first off, on the Judge home run to tie the game with two strikes, then Stanton takes the lead.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, here we are. Both teams' closers just blew the game, their closer. And then, of course, Luke Weaver comes out, and here comes Big Christmas, as they call him. Jauncey Noel just hits an absolute bomb. And by the way, the Judge home run and the Stanton home runs were line drives. They were hit so effing hard, it just kept going, straight. Not up, just out the yard.
Yeah.
And then David Fry with the heroics in the 10th. I mean, the one that got me the most was probably the Noel home run, because I thought the game was over. You're like, here it is. They just lost it. They're going down 3-0. And we'll see. Does that give them a lift? I mean, momentum is next day's starting pitcher, which I don't know that they're happy that Gavin Williams is going to be the guy for him right now. He's been fine. Nothing wrong with him, but in a game four in another must-win situation without going back to New York down 3-1, this is what you want, right?
Yeah. Hey, it's what you want. You needed that kind of game, man, to me. And I'm not talking about the teams, the fans. I don't know about you, Jeremy, but this CS round of the playoffs had been boring.
It's kicked my ass, man. I haven't got anything right in this round.
Maybe from a gambling perspective, but it's been boring. Well, it has.
No, but nobody wants to hear it. And again, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, but it's going to sound like I am. You can't handicap something. Like, who can handicap that closers are going to be the best pitchers in baseball? We're going to be the worst pitchers in baseball in the postseason. Framber Valdez sucked. Tarik Skubal got rocked in his second start.
Yeah.
You start looking around. Every closer. You think about every closer in the postseason and who's done what. They've all been beaten up, including the best one, and we all think Clase is that. They're talking about how devastating he is. Every time I watch him come in the game, he gives up a dong. Bang. Like, what is going on? Is that even, like, you look at some of these teams and guys you've gone to and trusted all year long coming out and blowing games. And it's not just sometimes they give up a home run. It's that they're having a 3-4-5 yeah. six run outing, and it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah. The ALCS, the Yankees. I mean, not the the NLCS. The Dodgers have wrapped this up 3-1.
Well, Shohei Ohtani started off last night.
Yeah,
bink, and then you're like, okay, here we go. I think the Dodgers kind of wrapped that up.
The Dodgery.
Yeah, well, because I mean, look, they're up 3-1. I don't love their starting pitching, but now they don't have to flinch.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Mets have to do is you're walking on eggshells even more. Like, do we pull them? Do we go to this guy? I don't want to. If we lose this, we're going home. So then you start to see them make some knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes it works out. Most of the time it doesn't.
I heard Bobby Witt Sr. once say that the league championship series is more stressful than the World Series. Imagine being down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right is more stressful because you're trying to get there. You know what I mean? Everything's on this, and you're trying to get there. I can imagine the league championship series being ultra stressful.
You're still chasing. Again, like, until you get to that, like, ask Lamar how he feels about some of these AFC championship, you know, AFC championship game playoffs. You get there. Getting to the Super Bowl, I'm assuming once that game starts, that all those butterflies and everything else go out and we're just playing football.
They just showed Michael Vick at the Virginia Tech game.
Was it Michael or Marcus?
That was Bo.
It was Michael, a poor man's version of Bo Nix.
Bo Vicks.
Look at this guy, this throttle.
Yeah.
Look at this. You're seeing this more and more, aren't you?
Well,
guys just de-throttle before they get to the end zone. We just went around the world.
They're going to get caught from behind.
Joe, pull me back in, man. You let me get way out there like that. Pull me back in. You know what? Ramirez for Cleveland, I love him. He's one of my favorite baseball players.
I love his game. I love his attitude. He just seems like he's just having more fun than everybody else on the field.
Yeah, and if you let him hit from the right side of the plate, good luck. They made a pitching change last night just because they wanted him to hit from the left side of the plate.
Yeah.
And it was like, get this guy out. Don't walk him, so we have to switch pitchers. Guy in front of him gets on, and it's like, son of a bitch, here they go. They're switching pitchers again. But to your point, though, Rob, it's watching Jose Ramirez. You're talking about a guy that's loyal, that wanted to. And look, I'm not expecting guys to be this. I just think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay in Cleveland. He wanted to bring a championship there, even though he understood what it was. Like, he just loves the place. And for being a superstar that doesn't get the accolades that the other guys get, I mean, he is just so much fun to watch. He walks and steals a base, hit a home run. You'll watch him in the field make a crazy ass play. They did have the one goofy play last night, and I don't know how much people got to see it. I was a little torn on it, but okay. When the Yankees scored their fifth run, there was a rundown at third, and the ball was thrown to Ramirez, who kind of snow coned the baseball. Uh-huh. But he had it in his glove, and he tags the guy, and then the ball falls out. How would you deem that? Would you deem that the ball is free, or he tagged him and the ball came out?
Because it was snow cone, I considered not having control. You know what I mean? Can I switch it to football?
Yeah.
Let's say a wide receiver is on the sidelines. Double tap, toe tap, swag.
Ball moves.
Ball is snow cone in between his hands, his arms, and it's sticking out. He doesn't have his hands on it. His arms on it and sticking out.
That was the Terry McLaurin play.
Exactly. And,
called it a touchdown.
As he hits the ground, the ball comes out. That should not be a catch to me.
Okay.
That's the same thing as what you saw with Ramirez. He didn't have control of the ball. All he has to do is open his glove a little bit and let that ball in, and then if he does that and the ball comes out.
See, my only problem with that is if I snow cone and I catch a ball in the outfield, it's still an out. I've caught it.
Yeah, but we're talking about the ball coming out, though.
But I'm saying you've caught it. Now he's moving. The ball didn't fall out as he's moving his arm. I'm not arguing this. Like, in the moment, I'm going, I wonder how they rule this. And then he just stayed with it. There was no challenge because I didn't know that you could overturn it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying I've never seen this, but in that moment, I'm going, what do you call there? Yeah. Because I could see it either way. Like, he has control of it. It's like when you're the transfer play.
Yeah.
When you're transferring to go for a double play.
And you put your hand in the glove and the ball misses.
You
your
drop
hand.
It. Yeah.
The ball misses your hand.
You clearly had it, but as you're transferring going to throw the ball, you drop it. That's always called an out at second, and then, you know.
Because if you never played that middle infield position, you don't want to put your hand all the way in the glove.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes they drop it on the transfer. It's a combination of flipping it and grabbing it.
You know what got me the first time learning about these guys was was how small the gloves are that they use on the infield.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of got me because I'm like, don't you want a little bit more? No, you want to get the ball out quick. You want to be able to get in there.
That was tough for me as I transitioned from infield to outfield in college. I had a super small glove. And then all the outfielders were telling me, man, you got to get a bigger glove than that out here. And it's true because it's not so much just catching the ball on the fly, Jeremy. When you are coming in on a ground ball from the outfield, you're running in. So mm-hmm. you want to scoop it into your crow's hop and the throw. If that glove is shorter, you got to go further, closer to the ground, so it's more of a reach.
Yeah.
You want a longer glove, so you're not reaching.
You want a bigger mitt.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to be able to scoop it and go into your crow's hop at the same time, and it's tougher to do that with a shorter glove. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I can't wait. 7 o'clock, week 7 picks. Is Ed going to join us for that? 7 o'clock? What time? 8:30. He's joining us for 8:30 when we do it. But we'll do it at 7 o'clock also. On the other side.
What's he selling?
Insurance.
No doubt. That's too soon. When the Ravens hired Todd Monken, is this the offense, Jeremy, that you expected to see? I'll let Jeremy and you answer that on the other side right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Same terminology, just hearing it a year, being involved in it in a year, and just talking with coach, you know, about things I see, what I see on the field, what I don't see, and just hearing his take on what you know, what he gets and out of plays and here and there. You know, it's a team effort. You know, it's not just me doing it myself. It's everybody involved and everyone just thinking, talking about their plans and what they seeing out there on the field or in the film room.
It's Lamar Jackson talking about the comfort level he has in Todd Monken's offense, being familiar now, Jeremy. And when Todd Monken first came, I knew what he was capable of doing offensively. What I did not know is whether or not John Harbaugh was going to allow Todd Monken to be Todd Monken. And I don't think he did last year. I think now John Harbaugh understands he's under pressure. He's under fire.
Yeah.
You all can say he's not on the hot seat. I'm not saying that. But don't tell me that he's not at the point where he's being judged by championships. He won one 12 years ago with a couple of Hall of Famers on the roster. He needs another one.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of the reason he is allowing Todd Monken to be Todd Monken.
Was it Romo that was stroking him on Sunday saying that he, you know, Hall of Fame coach, one of the best coaches of all time, you know, just talking about Harbaugh. But, like, this is – I think you and I were in the same boat. I mean, we watch a lot of college football. Uh-huh. We knew who Todd Monken was. Yeah. We've seen what he was capable of Georgia. The question had always been, are things going to change here? Is it, you know – people have asked questions for since Lamar got here. Okay, can he do this? Can he do that? Are they letting him do this? Are they letting him do that?
I think it's more of letting.
And then going back to it, do you trust your offensive coordinator? Do you trust your head coach to make the right decisions? There are people that had an issue with them going for it on fourth downs and being more analytical. There are other people that have issues with, obviously, clock management and some of the decision-making. So we were all wondering that, and you even said it last year. Like, the one thing I still can't get by, and I'm hoping by the end of the year, that kind of gets fixed, is that we've talked about the either-or offense. When they like to run two tight end sets, they like to have Charlie Kohler out there as a blocking tight end more times than not, and then set up stuff off of it. That's why Kohler got that touchdown in the game not that long ago. So, but it was nice to see Mark Andrews get involved. Like, they tried to take away Zay in the second half. It's like, okay, we'll just go here. They've got weapons for the first time in a long time on this offense, so it's nice to see that they're actually putting up these type of numbers.
Yeah, it's great to see it. I agree with you. It's like, it's so much fun to watch. And you said it earlier this week, Jeremy. You all can tell me all you want me about the great defenses that this team has had, this organization has had. They have. They've had some brilliant defenses. But I wasn't having fun winning 9-7. I wasn't having fun winning 13-10.
Yeah.
I wasn't having fun. I wasn't.
the results were, if you're results oriented, then the results were fun. But the process wasn't fun. Not for me. There were many times where during the game, I flipped the channel if there was another game. Let's see what's going on over here.
Yeah.
This team is now must see TV.
Well, the other way of watching, look, again, I don't have an issue with people saying I like defense, I'm more defensive, whatever. But you can't tell me you're sitting here loving just watching the clock tick down, because there were times in this offense you weren't expecting them to go down and score. You just wanted them to pick up two first downs and run out the clock.
Yep.
You know, and again, if that's exciting for people, okay, I'm not faulting you, but I just didn't buy it when a lot of Ravens fans are saying, I like this brand of football. No, this is the only brand of football you know, and this is how you've been winning.
I didn't like this brand of football. They didn't like it. They liked the fact that they were winning. Because when they stopped winning, they start screaming for getting the quarterback. They start screaming for an offense. They start screaming for an offensive coordinator. You know, I was tired of seeing Kadri Ismail do the fake end around. How many times are they going to run that play?
Or seeing the, what was the one?
I love you, Kadri, but if they handed you that ball, you weren't going nowhere.
The reverse with Dante Stallworth every time he was in the game.
Yeah. It was the same place. I'm like, come on, dude. And you knew when they were going to run it. You knew what play set up for that other play. And now you have some imagination. And those guys we talked about, Kadri and Dante Stallworth, were very talented players. I just don't think you used them the proper way. I think now you have an offensive coordinator who's using his talent the way they should be used. He's getting the most out of these guys. You know, that's why you got a backup running back who goes out and routes, and now he's game playing. He tried to run that wheel route last week. Commander said nope. But when they took that away, Lamar found something else. Because, okay, now you're gonna slide that far over to take away the wheel route. All right, now you leave in the middle of the field open. And Lamar saw that. That's what having weapons is. When you start, offensive coordinator creates scenarios by exposing his weapons. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? When I can use all of the weapons in my game plan, it makes the defense play chess off of that. Now I'm creating a lot of problems. You see that with Todd Monken now. He's getting more people involved. Yes, it's Lamar throwing the ball, but we haven't seen some of these combination routes from different players that we've seen in a long time.
No, it's fun. It's a fun offense to watch for the first time in a long time. And I'm not saying it hasn't been that way the past couple years, but God, man, looking at what they've done, what they've set up, I talk about combination routes. If you're facing zone defense, running a guy, you know, basically running through that safety and making him follow you, and then having someone fill in behind the linebackers anywhere you can. It's not as just cut and dry as that, but a lot of the combination routes were the setups. You run the out, you run the out, and the next time he's getting ready to jump that out, you run the out and up, right? Like you're mixing things up to try to make it work, whether it's a singular person or two guys working together. But that's what I've loved about this offense. We've seen more screens. I was reading Lamar, when you look at his numbers, they've all gone up. The only difference that you're looking at him is his ADOT's gone down. They're giving him easier plays to make on certain situations, and then he's making things happen in other ones.
Yep.
So when you make it easy for him, like I talk about this all the time with Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes throws more touchdowns on screen passes than anybody else. Does anybody bring it up and fault him for it? No, it still counts. So why not give him the easy ones?
Yeah.
Give him all the easy ones, and then let him do that, and then see what happens, how much more you can get out of him. Because this BS that he couldn't read defenses or he can't run an offense is just, people can see it now. It's false. They were all lies.
It was a narrative. Let me give you an example. Can I go back to Justice Hill?
Yeah.
Last year, Justice Hill had a career high in targets, 39. A career high in receptions, 28. A career high in receiving yards, 206. And a career high in receiving touchdowns, 1. That was through 16 games. This year, through 6 games, Justice Hill has 21 targets, 18 off the pace with 11 games left, 18 receptions, 10 off the pace of last year, again, with 11 games left, and 171 yards, about 35 yards off the pace. And he has a touchdown already. And he's averaging a career high 9.5 yards a catch. That's what he's become. Well, he's doing that. You know what he reminds me of? You do remember when Washington Redskins had Kelvin Bryant?
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of a Kelvin Bryant. You know his role when he comes to the game, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You knew when Kelvin Bryant came in the game, chances are he wasn't carrying the football. You knew why he was coming in the game. Hey, everybody, Kelvin Bryant is in the game. Could somebody pay attention to him? You couldn't because you had Art Monk and you had, what was the other, the Smurfs?
Can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah, Gary Clark.
Yep.
You had all these other guys out there to where, yeah, we can pay attention to Kelvin Bryant, but what about these other guys out here?
So,
and that's where you are right now with the Ravens. Yeah, we know what Justice Hill is, but pick your poison. You want 9.5 yards from Justice Hill, or you want 15 from these other guys?
I mean, think about what we were saying for years here. At least I was, and I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but you have the absolute best person you could possibly have in your backfield to set it up for any running back that's standing behind him or next to him in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And we kept saying, if teams are going to try to stuff the box and stop the run, how are you not winning on the outside in one-on-ones? Because there's no way you can do both. You're not double-teaming receivers and stuffing the box. It's just not going to happen. I mean, there might be certain situations where you disguise things or show that. So if you have a player that you want to take away, like when you play the Vikings, you want to take away Justin Jefferson, right? That's the guy that you're scared of coming in. They put other weapons around him, and it makes it a little bit more difficult to do it. When you face the Ravens, you want to stop the run, which is easier said than done. Now, all of a sudden, we're seeing wide receivers making plays. They went to Zay Flowers in the first half 9 times, didn't even go to him in the second half because guess what? Go ahead and take it away. Uh-huh. If you want to take that away, we'll use this. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. You don't have to zig and when everyone else is zagging in the AFC Championship, all of a sudden forget about your running game and get away from it. No, you just got to get a little bit different. When they try to take something away, use those one-on-one matchups.
Week 7 picks at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Lamar says the offense can still improve on things. What do you see the areas that they can work on? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. I think Jeremy gave you a little sneak peek of one right here on The Fan.
Sometimes things go the way I want it to, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes I feel a way about it. You know, I get mad at myself. But it's still, like you said, it's room for improvement with our offense. You know, it's not a perfect offense. No offense is, but we still working.
I agree with Lamar. Every week we leave a lot of points on the field. And it's a small thing. We just got to clean up the details and really go back to work to the drawing board and sharpen those details, make sure we can go out every Sunday, you know, play to our best ability. You know, week by week we get better, but we're human. There's only so much we can do, you know, right. But we're trending in the right direction.
Mar Jackson, Rashad Bateman. And Jeremy, can I piggyback off something you said a little bit earlier?
Yeah.
The one thing that kind of irks me a little bit about our offense is we tend to be personnel predictable a little bit. And I know I talked about Justice Hill coming in the game. You know what he's going to do.
They're going to throw the ball.
They're going to throw the football. And it's another guy I know when he's in the game, chances are they're never going to run the football. And that's Mark Andrews almost. It's like Charlie Kolar is the blocking tight end. Mark, at some point, don't you have to mix that up a little bit more?
I said my concern with this offense, as great as it is that it feels like they can be predictable at times with, I'm just talking about runner pass.
Right.
I'm not talking about knowing the play or anything like that. And stopping it's another thing because the Ravens at times could probably tell the other team exactly what they're going to run and still pick up positive yards on every play. That's how good this offense is, but it has felt weird. Like, let Justice Hill run the football a couple times. I mean, he's a running back. He can do those things. Set it up. I mean, try to catch a team off guard. Throw the ball to Derrick Henry, which they've done a couple times.
Right.
Like, there's no reason you can't mix those things up. And I get tired of the Derrick Henry. He's not a great catcher of the football. Give him a chance and see what he does. The guy's been playing this game his whole life. You can't tell me he can't catch a football.
They're not hold his hands.
Yeah, I mean, you're not asking him to toe tap running an out route in the back corner, you know, back pylon, and it's a timing throw. Usually when a running back's catching the ball, he's butt naked wide open by himself and someone's throwing him the ball.
Well, that would be something.
I mean, the only different times are when you see something like Justice Hill on that wheel route. I don't think you need to set Derrick Henry up on a wheel route, but there's no reason why he can't come in and be the check down or get a screen, and let's see what happens.
Well, here's the thing, Jeremy. Early in his career, it was taboo. He had more games played than receptions, I should say. However, that flipped in 2022.
Yeah.
In 2021, he had 18 receptions. In 2022, he had 33 receptions. In 2023, he had 28 receptions. That was first and second highest of his career. So it seems like as his career has gone on, somebody has thought what you said. You know what?
Derrick Henry's played a lot of football.
Could also be that he was on a bad Titans team. They didn't want to take him off the field. And when he's out there, he's getting targeted a little bit more. But I agree with you. Like, this is something where, you know, they did the same thing with Adrian Peterson. Now, he might be a little bit different because he's got hands of stone. If you ever shook that guy's hand, he might break all the bones in yours. It's the strongest handshake I've ever had in my entire life.
He's angry.
It's almost like he's trying to show you how strong he is. Like, you win. Stop it. I got these soft-ass, sensitive hands, man. I don't need all that. But they never threw the football to him. And I'd like to see how many times these guys drop passes. And that's why you want to tell me you're not throwing the football to him.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy, are you concerned with anything else with this offense? Or is it pretty...
No, I mean, that's it for me. I do think Lamar might have the tendency of trying to make the big play and hold onto the ball too long, but I'm nitpicking with that. You'd be nitpicking with anything else. I just think if you're going to be predictable at times, you got to mix it. That's why if you have Derrick Henry in the game all the time and you're handing them the ball, it's one thing. What are they going to do? They're going to gear up and come to stop the run. Well, then you put that ball in his belly and pull it out and run the play action. And as those linebackers and safeties are coming forward, you're looking at your receivers going over the top. There's definitely options of what you can do. But yeah, being predictable is my one concern with them if they face a really good defense. And with that being said, I don't know how many really good defenses we actually have in this league.
Me either. I don't, you know, we keep saying if I haven't seen those defenses yet, that's the problem. I mean, it's not a problem, but I haven't seen it. I'm waiting to see that defense that is so scary mm-hmm. for the Baltimore Ravens, because I think personally they can beat up or pick any defense apart right now in the National Football League.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying. Who is the best defense in football? I'm not talking like from what you've watched. We don't need to look at the statistics telling you one thing, because I still don't know that six games is enough to tell you who everybody is. The Vikings have played five, and they've only trailed for 3 minutes. Is their defense really good? Is it a scheme from Flores? And when their pass defense looking bad, was it the fact that they were leading the entire time and teams were throwing on them?
I got to say the best defense that I've seen is two of them. One would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't disagree with that.
The other would be the Chargers. Have you seen how many points the Chargers have given up?
Yeah, I mean, part of that's their game flow, running the football, eating up the clock, but their defense is really good.
Yeah. Those would be the best two. Vikings are really good, too, though.
Yeah.
They're not going to face the Vikings, though.
No, I mean, if you get to the Super Bowl. But right. I'm just saying, like, when you start looking at all these teams, and I'm trying to match them up and say, okay, what does this team do? What does that team do well? For me, 5-6 games is still not enough of a sample size to say who's what. I do know that the Ravens have the best offense in football, and I honestly don't think it's that close.
College football preview at 7:45. Some big games over the weekend. I know you can't wait to watch. But on the other side, Week 7 picks. Joe's going to give us the standings, and we'll try to jockey for position in Week 7. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.